The title of my message this evening, The Power of a Covenant. Let's close our eyes. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your grace that flows here. A lot has been happening this from yesterday, this morning, and mighty God, we know that tomorrow your grace is going to flow, mighty God, again as we close this session. Thank you, Father, for your grace. Anoint this word and bless your people tonight and bless us tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody say, the power of a covenant. I want to start by saying that every covenant runs through a test. Every covenant goes through a test. Yesterday, we witnessed, as we explored the Word of God together, how to establish a covenant. And we saw how God established a covenant with Abraham. When those two animals were cut into two, and they walked together. And amazingly, Dr. Joel Mhlafi also went through that message as if we shared their notes. Isn't God amazing? Can we give God a hand? He says, mighty God. And then we also saw how David and Jonathan cut a covenant. And we began to see the terms of a covenant. We saw the signs of covenant. How do you see the covenant? But tonight, I'm going to talk about every covenant runs through a test. And then I'll end up by talking about covenant that also affects generations. Two things under the power of a covenant. The covenant, every covenant runs through a test. Genesis chapter 22, reading from verse 1 to verse 12. The Bible reads, some time later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded the donkey. So Abraham responded promptly, quickly. He took him with the two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out to the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. You know, when you are serving God, when you are taking serious journey with the Lord, serious commitment, you have to leave other people with donkeys because they won't qualify. They won't be able to stomach what God is about to do in your life. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife as the two of them went on together. I wonder what is in their mind. Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, father. Yes, my son. Abraham replied, the fire and the wood are here. Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. Can you say God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering? Say it aloud. God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. You can understand, you can see that Abraham understood the covenant. That if God kills this son, it is his son. Because we're in covenant, the same pain that God that I feel, God is going to feel it. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Can you imagine this? Can you ever imagine this? You know, sometimes the Bible looks so, when you take it to the context, just imagine your teenager, you know, binding his hands and putting him on the altar and placing the wood ready to burn him. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay him, his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he said. Do not lay your hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God. I know that you understand covenant. Be because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. As we explained, only God gave animals and he sacrificed them for the covenant. God had to prove Abraham's faithfulness for the covenant. Every covenant is going to be proven. Did he believe in his heart? That was the question here. Did he really believe that the covenant that was cut was real? The only way to test Abraham's obedience to the covenant was going to be through his dear only son. The only way God is going to test the covenant, it is going to be through things that are so close to us. If we understand this covenant, God had to cut close to the heart, to the life, to the blood of Abraham to ensure that this man understand covenant. Believers undergo a series of tests in their lives. And most of them are not coming from God, but God allows them in order to understand their full understanding of covenant. God is waiting to see that when you have gone through the test, he is ready to pronounce, "Now I know that you fear me." In those days, men were used to the blood covenant. They were willing to give their firstborns to the demons. Imagine, it had taken him 100 years to get a son. 100 years to get a son, that only son. But God says, "I want that son." It took him 100 years. And can you imagine, sometimes when we get these assets and these things and these possessions, there come a time when we say, "I work so hard for this son." You even forget that you don't have the power to bear that son. You even forget that you don't have the brains to own that house, to have it, to have those things that God has blessed you with. When God comes closer and he says, "I want that very thing that you have worked so hard for. Take it to Moriah. Sacrifice it there. Burn it to ashes, into nothing." And there's no hope to get another son. God is checking if Abraham's understanding of covenant is at a level where he can understand that if God is able to kill my son, he's able to resurrect him from the ashes. You can understand this very clearly if you were to read Romans 4, verse 13 to 25, but let me start from verse 17 with you. "As it is written, I've made you a father of many nations." Say, "I've made you a father of many nations." Say it aloud. "I've made you a father of many nations." He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Now the Bible is talking of Abraham here. Before he could bear a child, God called him the father of many nations. A barren man, no child. He's yearning to have a child. But God says, he is a father of many nations. God does not call you with your situation. He calls you from heaven. There are promises. He calls you from a position of covenant and a promise. And the promises of God are yea and amen. It doesn't matter whether you have experienced and received the promise. Tonight I declare upon you, you are the father of many nations. We are the father of many businesses. We are the father of many breakthroughs in your life. I want to declare in that barrenness, God is breaking every barrenness tonight. "I have made you a father of many nations." Can you imagine that? This man could have said, "God, you are mocking me." He was 70 years. "I've made you a father. I've made you." Hey, unkulunkulu madod. He goes kumkulu. He leaves every person who is young, every person who has got strength and power. He goes to an old man. He nasesalwazini. It's Tembi. Says fanele abantu abasha. He takes it to the oldest man in the camp. He says, "I have made this one a father of many nations. I don't mind the dead womb, and I don't matter whether you are old. But if I say I've made you a father of many nations, these children have got to come out of your loins." You have got to remember that before God took that covenant with Abraham, he had promised him, he said, "The children will come out of your loins. You are not going to adopt a child." I want to declare tonight for those couples that do not get children. I want to declare upon you right now, we are going to be the mother of many children, mother of many nations. There are more children that are going to come out of you. I break that barrenness in your womb in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth right now. I release something new in your life. Then the Bible says, against all hope. Can you say against all hope? Abraham in hope believed, so became the father of many nations. What was the key to Abraham receiving the promise of the covenant? Faith. Faith is the key. Because when you go through tests in life, we are going to need faith. Especially when your years are going, when you are growing. And you are growing, you can see that I'm reaching 40, I'm reaching 45, I'm reaching 50. I haven't accomplished that and that. The promise is still waiting for you. I want to tell you, God is no respecter of any age. And as I enter at this time, I want to declare that God is about to release those promises that he promised over your life. In the name of Jesus. So shall your offspring be. That's what God says. Without weakening in faith. Say it after me. Say, without weakening in faith. Our Lord Basaran. Say, without weakening in faith. When things hit against you, you weaken in faith. You begin to think, am I going to get married? You begin to think, am I going to get some children at this age? But the Bible says, can a nation be born in a day? There is nothing impossible with God. Without weakening in faith, circumstances can weaken your faith. Satan can work against you to an extent that your faith is weakened. But the Bible says of Abraham, without weakening in faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Since he was about 100 years, he didn't deny the fact. He looked into the fact that I'm about 100 years old, but the promise has come. He also looked at the fact that Sarah's womb was dead. Two facts. You are old. Your woman also's womb is dead. But the Bible says he did not waver in unbelief regarding the promise. But he was strengthened in the faith. He was strong in the faith. The more you get into a test, the stronger your faith must be. Tonight, I want to release faith in the name of Jesus. Your faith is going to see you through. Your faith is going to release breakthroughs around your life. The more you get attacks, the more stronger your faith must become. It is time we use our faith, because there are many attacks in our times. There are many attacks in the marriages. There are many attacks at jobs, in business. There are many attacks in our bodies and our lives. Tonight, I want to say, you must never weaken in faith. You must be strong in faith. Because these covenants are proven, are tested by fire. I want to speak to everyone right now who has been diagnosed with any sickness that threatens your life. Tonight, I want to declare upon you, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, your breakthrough has come. In the name of Jesus, I pray right now that the promise is coming upon you. In the name of Jesus, you shall not die prematurely. Not only you, but your relatives, your father, your mother, your sisters, everybody in your family. You are not going to bury anybody. In 2 years come, in 10 years come, in 20 years come, with long life. God shall satisfy them with long life. Without weakening in faith. Brethren, these are the days you must be strong in faith, because we've got so many adversaries. We've got so many oppositions, sicknesses, diseases, sometimes a number of other things. Sometimes even the politics doesn't work in our favor, at work, in business, in every area. But tonight, I declare a new season in the name of Jesus. Your covenant has been tested, but you're going to pass. And God is going to say, now I know that you understand covenant. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise, but was strengthened strong in faith, giving glory to God. Hey, God promised him at around 70 that you're going to be the father of many nations. Nothing happened. And I'm sure that he began to declare it, because faith, he must declare it, that I'm going to be a father. He prepared. The lady, I think Sarah began to check herself. They saw every now and again, they would see this Mkulu coming to a Gaina. With his Isalwazizak. Sizo checking him and going. And they asked, Mkulu, are you representing your daughter, whatever? Are you representing your daughter, Sarah? Are you representing somebody? Says, no, I'm coming for my son. Please check if there's no child here. The doctors will check and laugh and say, Mkulu, go and sleep. You are a mad man. Sarah, go and sleep. The cocoa says, I'm not going to waver in the promise. I am strong in faith. The doctor's report says you are old, but the report of God says it is possible even in this age. Nothing shall be impossible with our God. Every time she's stepping up into a gynecologist, I can imagine them laughing whenever she was phoning, Mkulu phoning, Mkulu Abraham phoning. Hello, how are you? Is there an appointment for me? The secretary, the receptionist will say, ooh, guys, who's calling? The met Mkulu. If your faith does not rise to a level where people around you who know your situation says you are mad, your faith does not come to a level of your breakthrough. Your faith must come at a level where people say you are mad. The Bible says they continue giving glory to God. Every time the doctor will check and check Sarah. This is not in the Bible. This is what I'm just, okay, imagining. So, check and say, Mkulu, we are sorry, nothing. Then he says, glory to God. Giving glory to God. Can you ever imagine when things are against you, but you just say, glory to God? It reminds me of a Shunammite woman who received a child at one time. Elijah, you remember the story we talked about this morning through Pastor Fana. And the Bible says that Elijah came to a house and he discovered that she had no child. And because of her generosity, because of the seed she planted of building a property for the prophet says, what shall I do for you? God began to see a need. Because through her giving, she entered into a covenantal grace and a covenantal blessing that God wanted to release upon her life. Then the prophet says, what shall I do for you? Then they discovered she had no child. Then the prophet said, this time next year, in this season next year, your breakthrough shall have come. Your results for the daughter shall have come. The results for your father shall have come. The result for your mother shall have come. This time next year. I say this time next year. And definitely that did happen. And afterwards, to cut the long story short, afterward the child died. They say when the child died, the woman went into the room. She saw the child was dead. She took a donkey. She ran to the prophet. She didn't go to the relative and church. It's over. Because she understood that the covenant was tested. You must know that some of the seasons you are entering into, some of the problems that are entering into your life, they are not about nullifying the promise, but those problems are there to test the covenant. She rode a donkey very fast, and then Mambuza, but kunjani uyaphila umntwana? Umntwana efile wathi konke kuhamba kahle. Konke kuhamba kahle. Konke kuhamba kahle. I don't think she said this smiling. She was crying. The prophet says, what is happening? Because you've got to declare faith. I want to say to you, when people ask you about your condition, just say. When people ask you about your financial condition, say. When people ask you about whether you're getting married or not, just say, go get hamburger. Go get hamburger. Go get hamburger. Go get hamburger. I want to say, go get hamburger. Go get hamburger. Go get hamburger. Go get hamburger. Ufelwe lo muntu ifeeling ngane sanyakaza The child is dead, but this woman has got faith that doesn't give up. She's got strong faith that God can give you something and take it in that way. God could not give you and bring you to this conference when God was going to make your things go down. This is a new season in your life. This is a new era into your life. Konke kuhamba ngithi kunjani na? Kunjani na? Give the Lord a prayer of praise. Being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. So my tatum to anwake misa pezul. Bambusa Ephraim kuthi konke kuhamba kahle. Kubuhlungu enhlizweni. There are certain things that are so painful. That's why somebody sang a song that says, konke kuye se. Konke kuyenzeka. 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 There are certain things people ask you. How does this happen to you? Because you are a believer. How do you experience this problem? Just say konke. They ask you, how do you get divorced? Because you are a believer. Why did your husband or wife leave you? Just say konke. Say no, ma kunje. They say, give out, give up your faith because it is not working for you. Just say. His son, take your seats. He gave his son on the altar because the Bible says he saw resurrection before resurrection could take place. Abraham went 500 years, 500 and many hundreds of years ahead of his time. He experienced resurrection by faith. And then the Bible says when he was putting his son, God says, now I know. Then the angel says, God is going to provide. God has already provided. I want to declare tonight, God has already provided. God has already provided. Covenant affect generations. I'm ending up with that one. Covenant affect generations. I don't feel like going. No, ma. Oh, promises scripturally. For example, divine health, divine prosperity, divine protection, to be the head and not the tail. But sometimes you find yourself being the tail and not the head. It's a test of your covenant. Does God really mean what he promised? Tonight I want you to rise, to stand up and begin to pray in the spirit. I will continue the other time with the other one. Shandarababa Sondolo Shinere.